presents his research on cycling within a broader social justice framework. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for KBOO Community Radio. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate. That's the news. Night, Jenna.
Night, Kanan. Night, Wesley.
Good night.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
David D., himself a professor in Africana Studies at San Francisco State University, speaks backstage with activist Donald Lacey about his upcoming one-man production of Color Struck in San Francisco, California.
David D., Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. We were listening to a little excerpt, Donald Lacey, in action here at San Francisco State, his old alma mater, came through talking to people about the role of the artist and where he sees things going. First of all, Donald, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And I just wanted to get your take on things, man. We're in historical moments. A historic election on the corner, around the corner. Police terrorism is front and foremost. What's happening with our Native brothers and sisters in the Dakotas. Seems like a lot of things are turned up. But when I talk to people who's been around for a long time, they're saying this is almost a repeat of 68, 69, and that that we should study the past so we kind of know what sort of steps to take in the future. How are you seeing things?
Well, first of all, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me in this wonderful time sharing with your students. You have a great class, and you're really molding some really powerful young minds. And something I share with them that I'll share with the audience, as I was saying, one of my mentors, who's about 80, was saying that he has never in his, and he's gone through the Jim Crow, the civil rights struggle and everything, black folks is in as bad a shape as he can remember. And for someone who's been through all of that, that he went through, and coming through the Jim Crow South and around lynchings and that kind of thing, to make that assessment is just startling, but it also puts things in perspective for me, because we are living in a police state with police terror, and it seems like every day someone else is being murdered who is unarmed by so-called law enforcement officials. And, you know, it feels like a very fragile, dangerous time in our existence here. And of course, with this, as you mentioned, this critical election, heaven forbid the nutcase wins, there's no telling, you know, all hell may break loose. But the flip side of it is I see so many young people who are positive and who are organizing, who are conscious, who are just committed to the struggle. You know, when I was watching what was going on in Charlotte a week or so ago, and I was amazed at the protests. There were maybe even more white youth than there were black youth. And I said, wow, this is cool. This is like, you know, across a racial struggle of unification coming together, much like our brother Fred Hampton did when he had those hillbillies or whoever they were for the
Ozark, Young Patriots.
The Young Patriots, right? And he had the churches, he had the NAACP. So as scary as it is, it's also exciting that the forces of resistance are coming together to stand together, because we have to.
Let me ask you this. You know, at this stage in the game, you've been doing these plays to kind of have a conversation of race. And many people have come to the conclusion that we're beyond the conversation. There are some people that have made up their mind to never recognize the humanity of those who are seen as other. And with that has come a rejection of trying to make people feel comfortable, trying to deal with the fragility of white folks who, you know, who center themselves in the middle of these conversations over feelings and the way that you presented information versus what actually is taking place. Mm-hmm. How are you seeing things? And I ask this because you have your play Color Struck. You have these platforms that you have used for racial conversations. Over the years, have you seen them get better, easier, or are people just kind of locked in and not moving?
That's a great question. And there's a lot of ways I can answer it, but I think you kind of hit it on the head. To me, the conversation shouldn't be comfortable. It should be uncomfortable. And I'll share this. And I don't know if I shared this with you before, but I'll never forget this white woman. She had to be in her 60s. We were doing the show in Arcata. It was all white. There was one.
Arcata, California.
Yeah. And there was one white, one black student from the college there that was nearby, Humboldt College there. The rest was all white, 99.9%, maybe 300 people. And she was sitting in the front. And she told this story of how she was a little girl in 65 during the Watts riots, and they were on the periphery of Watts, and someone threw a brick or something through the window and knocked her father out as they sat at a stoplight. And her mother had to grab the wheel, and, you know, they were all panicking, and she was a little kid, maybe 6 or 7 or whatever. And they drove to the nearest hospital, which happened to be near or in Watts. And I don't know if it was a black orderly, nurse, or doctor, or whomever this brother was, came over there to attend while they're in the waiting room. And she said, "Don't let that N-word touch my daddy." And she'd been carrying that for 50 years.
Who said this? She did, or her
she
mom?
She did, as a little girl. It's 7 years old. She said that. And she said that it bothered her so bad, it was almost, and she was crying. And I went off the stage, and I grabbed her and hugged her, and I started crying. I said, "Wow, this is what it's about." This woman felt compelled enough to share something that she's been harboring in a room full of strangers. She was there by herself. There wasn't nobody sitting that I saw with her. So to me, this is what it's all about. And then when we did the show a few weeks ago in Fairford, there was a 12-year-old white kid who stood up and said it makes him cry every time he sees a black man or a woman killed by the police who aren't armed. And then he quoted the Colin Kaepernick thing and saying how he supports Colin and that he's right. The police aren't trained, and why are the police doing it? And I thought, wow, this kid is 12 years old, and that's it. Because nobody comes out of the womb racist. Well, Donald Trump probably, who knows. But for the most part, nobody comes out, you're learned that behavior. So by that rationale, we can unlearn it. And to me, that's the power of these discussions. You might not like what I have to say or what is even presented in the show, but let's talk, because we're going to have to learn to get along, or we're going to destroy each other. It's really that simple.
How do you avoid people feeling that the work that needs to be done is having the conversation but not following it up with the critical action? You know, it's nice that the woman, you know, held on to this thing for 50 years and finally let loose, and the 12-year-old said these things, but that doesn't change maybe an action that she's taking or doesn't take. She may be the one sitting behind the loan, the teller seat at a bank, right, that denies you a loan. She may have a relative that is a cop that feels it's completely justified to shoot unarmed people. And the hard conversation is really changing those minds around you and being an example of what it means to drive racism away from our midst. How do we avoid people feeling like, well, I went to see Colorstruck, and I have a black friend, and, mm-hmm, you know, and I listen to Jay-Z, so therefore I can't be racist, when really it goes a lot further than this?
Again, a great question. And I hearken back to the film I saw in your class, where Ruby Dee, who I love, and her and Ozzie Davis, great examples of artists who were active, and she stood up and passionately said, "I need an assignment. I'm tired of coming to these things and we talk. I need an assignment." And I think that's what we need to do. We need to get assignments. We need to get busy. We need to organize. And to me...
So what would the assignment be for people listening or people who come to see your play this weekend?
I would say galvanize and get with other people who are like-minded to do some kind of action. Go to City Hall to push, and I could throw this in, the city manager to get off the dime, to get Love Life on the signs or whatever. Whatever kind of action. Register some people to vote. We're going to have a voter registration table there for people who aren't voting, who haven't registered to vote yet, because as you said, this is a critical election. So don't just talk about it, be about it. And one way to do it is hopefully through the talk will energize and activize you to get involved with any nonprofit organization like ours or the MLK Freedom Center, this is a benefit for, who are actually doing the work where the rubber meets the road and who are actively involved in the community. That's the assignment. Get involved. Don't just talk about it. Get off the couch and be about it.
And for people who don't know, what is happening? Colorstruck, award-winning play that's been around the country, invited to do it at the White House at one point, is now going to be at Laney College over the weekend. You're going to be doing you actually doing a special thing because it's helping commemorate the upcoming 50th anniversary of the Black Panthers. So talk a little bit about that and give people the details.
Absolutely. It's Friday and Saturday, Laney College, 900 Fallon Street. And as you say, it's in honor of the 50th anniversary. We're privileged that on the Saturday night, you'll be moderating discussion. Saturo Ned will be there. Other members of the Panthers will be there over the weekend. Emory Douglas has confirmed. Erica Huggins will be there. People like that. Judy Juanita. Marvin X is opening both the shows, doing some of his brilliant spoken word. And portions of the proceeds will go to my organization, the Love Life Foundation, as well as the Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center, which is a great youth organization that's Barbara Lee's brainchild, if you will. And the show is always changing because, unfortunately, more people are dying, more things are happening, you know, so whatever's in the news, I update the show with that. I mean, the basis of it is about my experiences growing up in East Oakland and how I was politicized by the Panthers. Thank you to all of the sistren and the brethren who did that for me. But again, it's entertaining, but it's definitely a lot of good information, a lot of good historical information about Oakland, about our history in this country that predates slavery. And, you know, it's a great cause as well. So people can get their tickets. Go to DonaldLacy.com or you can get them at the door, DonaldLacy.com. And again, it's a benefit for two great youth organizations who our organizations for 19 years. I can't believe, man. And I want to say, too, thank you, man. You've been there from day one, from the first march we did where Jerry Brown snuck in front till now. And here I am still, you know, having me on your program. So I got a debt of gratitude to you for all of your support and all the great work you do in our community. But it just boggles my mind that here I am, almost 20 years still doing this work and still meeting so many wonderful young and adult people that have come to all of our events.
As we kind of close out, and thank you for the compliment, do you include Colin Kaepernick's stance and the whole pushback
Absolutely.
On the flags in this version of Colorstruck?
Absolutely. And we invited him, and hopefully he make it. I'm not saying he's going to be there.
Well, he got a game on Sunday.
Yeah,
hey, that boy, that'd be – well, he showed up to Castlemont. Yeah,
exactly. We're hoping – but he definitely is in there because it's created such an inertia and such a movement, such momentum. And I've seen a couple of the Raider players holding up fists and a couple of the 49ers players holding up fists. So he's definitely stirred up something that's really good, and I got much love and respect. And to me, it's maddening that people are focusing on, you know, what he's not even really talking. He's bringing attention to injustice. All that other stuff people are bringing up is just noise. So we salute him, and we have to protect him because he's been getting death threats, unfortunately, and it just shows the insidious nature of hatred and racism in this country. But definitely, he's in there for sure.
And lastly, you had mentioned, you know, both to our class, but you also put online that one of the four killers you're going to meet with.
Yeah,
you know, of your daughter 19 years ago. What's that been like emotionally, and you know, and where does that all stand?
Wow, man, it's been a whirlwind week since I met someone who knew my daughter and who knows him at the McClymans reunion at Defermery Park last Saturday, and I've actually met the young man's wife, and we met Monday evening, and. You know, it's something I've been trying to do for almost 10 years now, and by the grace of God, I talked to his wife, and I filled out the paperwork, and sometime in the next 30 days, we will be as close as I am to you face-to-face so I can look him in his face and tell him I forgive him. And, you know, he was only 15 when he went away for that, and he didn't know she was in the car as supposedly the other three didn't as well, and he actually has been feeling bad and guilty all these years. So I'm just trying to set an example of forgiveness, and hopefully other people will follow this example, because we have to learn to forgive. I'm doing it for myself, for my daughter, as well as him. And he's open to it, and I'm open to it, and, you know, with a lot of prayer from everybody. And thank you, anybody listening who's prayed for me and my family, how much it's greatly appreciated. I know I wouldn't be standing here talking to you right now, Davey, if it wasn't for the love and the support and encouragement I've gotten from you and so many people in the community. So, you know, while I lost one, I feel like I've gained thousands. And I'm looking forward to embracing this young man and telling him I'm forgiving him, and I want to help him turn his life around, and hopefully when and if he is released, he will become a productive member of society. And I look forward to that day he is released, and I want to help him integrate himself back into society as a productive member of our community.
That was Davey D talking to Donald Lacey about his production Color Struck. And now stay tuned for Transpositive. This is KBOO Portland, and it's 5:59.
Waiting for, and my time was running wild, a million dead end streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. Well, I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Change it. Turn and face the strain.
Change
it.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Change it. Turn and face the strain.
Change
it.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Now I may change me, but I can't trace time.
Good evening and welcome to Transpositive. My name is Emma. I am one of the co-hosts, and I go by